We come before His presence with singing, Psalms 100, and we enter His gates with thanksgiving. The password is thank you. When you come before a king, you come with an offering. And today we offer spiritual offerings, amen, of thanks, gratitude, praise, amen, obedience, willing body, amen, laying ourselves down for Him, giving ourselves over for His work, for His purposes. How many know that if you're in Christ Jesus today, you've been born again, you're no longer your own property. It's no longer a me thing, it's a we thing. We had a great wedding yesterday for Fred and Bea over at Bridge Community, and just a great time. And I've been on the theme of the wedding since then, and I was thinking about this earlier, even in this week, but you know how what we're about today is God is gleaning from the earth and through the generations of people who are going to be His bride, amen, His jewels. And so the bride, the church, His people, born of His Spirit, are in preparation for the great day, amen, when we will be reunited with the Lord, amen, and we will drink of the cup with Him in that day, amen. And so the New Testament is speaking of Jesus as a bridegroom, amen, and our redemption as a marriage. And the day of our betrothal is right now. That's what this is all about, amen. It's the cup that we lift up and say, Lord, I accept. I accept You. I accept this invitation to be united with You in holy matrimony. Amen. That means I give myself to You. Everything now belongs to You. All I am, all I have belongs to You. And everything You are, everything You have is mine too. We are in union. We are in covenant. We're in a binding agreement. And this agreement was ratified in His blood. It was sealed in the precious blood. Amen. And the Lord purchased us with His own precious blood, so that we could be with Him and that we could be holy and presentable to Him. Not having a righteousness of our own, but that we would be clothed in Him who is our righteousness. And as long as I try to be righteous in myself, I'll never be righteous. He is my righteousness. He makes me righteous. And Jesus told us to abide, to continue in Him. Amen. Because apart from Him, there's no life. Life is in Christ. He is our life. It's not about religion. It's not about ceremony. It's not about just going to church. We are the church and we come and gather in His name. Amen. And we are the habitation of God in the Spirit. We are an expression of the Lord's heart in this world. And we are to minister one to another as members of the same body. Each one of us has been given a unique responsibility, amen, a gift set that we are to take and to invest. And whatever you give away in obedience to the Lord, you never lose. But the things that you try to hoard and hold on to, those are the things that you could lose. You could lose your rewards. Did you know that? Because you did nothing with the gift of God. But the gift of God is a gift of love that He gave to us, amen. And He wants us to love one another. And therefore, what I receive from the Lord, amen, I am also to impart and to give to others, amen. That's loving. God is a lover, therefore God is a giver. And so it's through the blood of this new covenant, amen, the New Testament, we're joined to Jesus, amen. And now we live in this time, again, of our espousal, where we've made our pledge to be faithful to the faithful one who always remains faithful, to keep ourselves, to guard ourselves against all other gods, idols, other lovers. Mm-hmm. We're not to cheat on the Lord, amen. And that's what marriage is, amen. The earthly marriage that we do, it's supposed to be a pattern, an example of the divine, of the heavenly. We will belong to Jesus. And because we belong to Jesus, every part of us is to be joined to Him. Every part is to be joined to him. We are to be one with him. And we are righteous if we are clothed in him. Some people think that they are righteous because they do good. We do good because we are righteous in him. But you can't be righteous by doing good. Good works should be a result of being righteous in him. Amen. Because the fruit that God accepts is the fruit of him, his spirit, the fruit of the spirit. So Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Amen. So this is a relationship, a courtship in a sense, where we're walking now. He's given us his spirit as a deposit, as a dowry, guaranteeing what is to come in time. Amen. And the Father, amen, is now, amen, in heaven. And he is the one who knows the day when the Lord will be sent back to receive his bride. Nobody knows the day nor the hour. The angels of heaven nor the Son of Man, Jesus said. I don't even know. Only my Father knows that day. So, guys, if you're hearing all this stuff on YouTube or whatever about people saying the rapture is going to be on a certain day, throw it out. He's coming suddenly, and he's going to come unexpectedly. He's coming in an hour when you think not. So that's why he said, be watchful, because I'm coming. Amen. And I'm coming for my bride. The bride is the one that is anticipating the day, amen, of the consummation of the marriage. They'll be reunited, amen, in heaven itself, hallelujah, at that great celebration of the wedding feast of the Lamb, amen. Hallelujah. And you don't want to be the one that was not prepared, the one that stands outside the door, because once they enter into the bridal chamber, the door will be shut. And you don't want to be the one that's standing outside and say, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And you need to make sure that you are prepared. This is the time of preparation. The Lord is not coming for a harlot. Amen. A worldling, if you will. He's coming for a holy people. Conformed into his image, into his likeness. Born of his spirit, clothed in his righteousness. And only Christ makes us or qualifies us to be in his presence. So our confidence must be in Christ alone. And if your confidence is in the Lord, then you will draw near. You will walk carefully with the Lord. All humanity is being invited to a wedding. The title of the message is, you are invited to a wedding. And all humanity is invited to this wedding. And those who respond to this wedding invitation must come on the terms set forth by the host. You understand? You have to first of all be invited, which you are, but you must come on the terms that are set forth by the host of the wedding. You can't come your own way. You must come his way. I want to talk a little bit about that this morning. In Matthew chapter 22, in verse 2, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. Now, according to the Middle Eastern customs, these weddings were lavish. You know, it was the father of the groom who helped plan the wedding. And the father also was the one that would prepare and pay for the wedding. Now, think about this. Because as God had instituted the marriage ceremony on earth, amen, according to the Jewish wedding, it was to be a pattern of what? The heavenly. Of how God works things, amen. For God, the Father, so loved the world. It was first in the Father's heart. And the Lord was the one willing to come, amen. And what did he come for? Well, he really came for a people. He came for a bride. He came to pay for this bride in blood, that she might be sealed and brought to him and become one with him, and that he might have a people, and that a people that would share in his glory. God wants a family. Amen? He wants many sons and daughters. He wants the world to be saved. And so these weddings would last for days. I mean, we have a wedding. We're about trashed about halfway through the day, right? And it's like, I'm ready to go home and take an aspirin, right? But these things would go on for days. And the wine and the food were the very best. I mean, the father of the bride, to the best of his ability, he would spare no expense. So that this was a special day for the bride and the groom. Amen. Now remember, it was Jesus who turned 180 gallons of water into wine at one of these weddings. And so there was plenty to drink. Moving right along. Now, does the Lord advocate drunkenness? Absolutely not. But there was joy and there was celebration and there was wine. And you know, they marveled that, Lord, you saved the best to last. Usually they bring out the best in the beginning. And after people have a few, you know, drinks, their tongues get a little numb. And then they aren't able to taste properly after that. So then they bring out the cheap stuff. That's what's going on here, guys. And so the Lord saved the best for last. How many know that the Lord is saving the best for us? Amen. Many that are first will be last, and many that are last. You may be last in this world, but you can be first with God. Amen. Heaven is a place where we want to be. Amen. There's singing, dancing, eating, drinking, joy, gladness. It's a celebration. In other words, it was a blast. How many know that the Lord is not boring? The Lord knows how to throw a party. Read the scriptures. He didn't go around rebuking them and say, you're having too much fun. There's absolutely too much joy going on in here. Think about it. God serves only the best. See, that's why we don't need the inferior stuff of this world. We don't have to get drunk in wine, amen? Because we can drink the new wine. We can delight ourselves in Him who is our joy and our delight. And we can celebrate Jesus, hallelujah, every day. And the king in the parable said this in verse 4. He said, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. So what God is inviting us to, guys, is something wonderful. And it's going to last for eternity. It's not some boring religious ritual. That has poisoned so many people from really getting to know the true God. Religion. God's always been about, you know, a relationship. So God, in other words, He was extending to mankind an invitation to a full and satisfying life. He came that we might have life, and life more abundantly. See, there's a lot of people who think that if they fully commit themselves to the Lord, that somehow they're going to lose out. They think they're going to somehow lose if they fully commit their lives to the Lord. How many know this is a lie of Satan? He's convinced a lot of people that what he has is better than what God has. Because, again, he's a narcissist and he loves to be worshipped in place of God. So he'll say, hey, we're having a party over here. Problem with this party is it poisons your body and the next day you may be sick. Amen. And you might have done things that you wish you hadn't done. Because the devil is a thief, isn't he? He's come to destroy. So he offers you cheap counterfeits. He's trying to convince people that God's not good, God's not exciting, that God's somehow boring, because if he can convince people to believe that, then they'll stay away. And they'll look for other places to try to satisfy that emptiness that's within them. As you know, only God can satisfy that emptiness. Amen. This world does not have the answer. Jesus is still the answer for the world today. In John 10:10, remember, Jesus said, "The thief, the devil, does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life, and that they may have it more abundantly." This is who God is. This is the true God. This is the God who we worship. This is the God who we celebrate today. This is the God who we drink of his life today. Amen. And we receive of his life today. And he gives us and takes us to a happy place. You've heard the term, "I got to go to my happy place," right? Well, I found my happy place. Amen. My happy place is in Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. And you don't get hungover the next day. But like the king in this parable, God is offering nothing but the best. So when God's people and people reject God's invitation to follow him, they're actually rejecting the mercy and eternal life that he's offering to them. The devil tries so hard to distract people, to detour people, to get their attention away from the Lord. Because he knows that if they truly give their lives over to Jesus, amen, they'll never be the same. And he will have lost them. So he works really hard to keep people away from the truth. And he perverts the truth and he clouds the truth. And there's so many doctrines and teachings and misrepresentations of who Jesus really is out there. That somehow people think, "Well, I don't want that Jesus." In some cases, you don't want that Jesus, because it's not the true Jesus. I believe my Jesus is a joyful Jesus, because the Bible says that God anointed him with the oil of joy above all his brethren. And in his presence is fullness of, and at his right hand are pleasures. So is God against pleasure? Not at all. But we need to seek the right kind of pleasure. Amen. We need to go for the superior pleasure of his presence, of knowing him, and not waste ourselves on foolishness. Amen. And lesser things of this world that will never satisfy. Young people are sometimes, they're in this place of exploration and experimentation and wanting to find out, well, what about this? What's the big deal about this? And they're not listening to the advice of their elders, but they're just thinking, well, maybe they don't quite get it. Maybe there is something to this. And they go out and they taste. And at first it tastes really good. And they think, oh, this is going to be great. Hallelujah. And all the devil's trying to do is lure you in. He's reeling you in. Amen. Because he wants to get you in the boat. And that's the place where he puts the chains on you. Amen. He binds you up. And then he begins to torment you. He begins to steal from you. He takes back more, amen, than what he ever gave you. Because the devil can do nice things for people, you know, but never without the cost. So when people reject God's invitation, they're actually rejecting the mercy that could be theirs. When people reject the will of God for their lives, what they're saying is no to God's eternal life. They're saying no to God's abundant life. They're saying no to heaven. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for heaven. Let's face it, right? How many here beside myself like to have pleasure? Amen. Is God against pleasure? No. He's against the pleasure, though, that replaces him, that becomes more important to you than him. Because when you discover and find out how pleasurable he is, the world has nothing that will satisfy you anymore. You'll have been ruined. Are you hearing me, somebody? I marvel now looking back at the things I was trying to satisfy myself with, right? And it's like, man, how many have said that? What was I thinking? Well, you weren't. You were looking for love in all the wrong places. But God has something better. It's eternal and it leaves no regret. In Matthew 7 and verse 21, Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." When people reject the voice of God, reject the will of God, they're rejecting the mercy and the abundant life that God is freely offering. The Father has gone to such extremes, if you will, even the death of Jesus on the cross, so that we could be with him and so that he could share his kingdom with us. We can enjoy all the pleasures of his presence. Amen. As Jesus walked in the Father's will, so you and I are called to do likewise. Jesus didn't satisfy himself on the lesser things of this world. Amen. He delighted to do the Father's will. It was his meat. It was what satisfied him. Remember the prophet Jonah. He made a profound statement when he was cast from the ship and he was sinking to his death in the depths of the sea. In Jonah chapter 2, verse 5, he said, "The waters surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought up my life from the pit, O Lord, my God." That was me. "When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord." That was me. "And my prayer went up to you into your holy temple." Then he says this, and it's such a profound statement. "Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy." What Jonah was basically saying is, I forsook the mercy of God by rejecting the voice of God. He refused to listen to the voice of God. And so today, God is inviting you and I to his banqueting table to share in his life. And you know, guys, we can have a table set before us, a banquet set before us, but we can completely miss it. We can be preoccupied with lesser things and distractions, all right, and detours of the enemy, so that he robs you from indulging that which God is offering you, which will sustain and satisfy and fill you to overflowing, to abundance. So that you become a well-watered garden bearing good fruit, amen? And you are enjoying life because life is in Christ, amen? And you can't be in Christ and not be enjoying Him. Because in His presence is fullness of joy. And so the Latin root of the word communion means fellowship or mutual participation. It means sharing together. We're sharing together in the life of Jesus. People can have communion with things. Even some people, they say, well, I like to go out and be one with nature. So in a sense, they're having communion, okay, with God's creation. Okay? They're having fellowship with the birds and the bees and the trees and everything else, right? Running around in their birthday suit, maybe. I don't know, but hugging trees. But they're having communion, okay? But it's the communion that God calls us to is Him. Amen. Fellowship with the living God Himself, the source of all that is created, the source of all life. God invites us into His fellowship. That's pretty cool. That is a great thing. That is a joy, isn't it? Communion is an intimate connection with God. It's intimacy with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Guys, we got to pray past ourselves to to get into that place of intimacy, to get into that place where God's glory dwells, if you know what I'm talking about. You got to go, amen, below the surface. We need to be deep divers, amen? Deep divers. Go deep into God. Hallelujah. And you'll find that the closer you are to Him, to His heart, amen, the more peace you have, the more stability there is in your life, the more joy there is. Because in His presence, there is joy. Hallelujah. See, we're so used to just a microwave society, amen, and microwave this and microwave that and drive through this and drive through that, that we don't know what it's like to take the time, come on, just to really press into God. Yeah. You got to get past yourself. Amen. If you're having trouble, you don't have peace in your life, you're stressed out, you're worried, you're anxious, you just need more Jesus. You need to immerse yourself in His presence. Come on. And all of a sudden, the thing that was this big is nothing. Because sometimes, you know I'm talking about, life can throw some curveballs and we're like, oh my word, what am I going to do? Let's start out by drawing close to God. Amen? Amen. Just get into His presence. Relax. God's got it. God's got a way. He wants to talk to you. He wants to give you an instruction. But he's gonna do that when you settle down and quit fretting about your situation. And quit blaming Him for it. Come on, somebody. Quit getting mad at the one who loves you so much and has nothing but good for you. Draw near to Him. Come before His presence with singing. Hallelujah. You don't have to come to church to do that. Amen. You can be driving down the road. You can be in Walmart. You can be wherever you are. You can be singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Amen. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden you'll find that the things that before would allure you, the temptations that would allure you, no longer have any pull on you. Because the stronger one, amen, is in control. The Lord. You've set Him apart in your heart and you're worshiping the Lord in spirit. Hallelujah. And He fills you with His strength. He weaves it into your life. Amen. But as God's bride, we must remain faithful to Him. We cannot give ourselves over to the lusts of our flesh. We must keep ourselves from idols. How do you keep yourself from giving yourself over to the lust of the flesh? By drawing near to Him. There's perfect freedom in the Lord. Amen. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's freedom. Amen. You just need more Jesus. If you're having struggle with addiction, whatever it is, you just need to draw near to God. Hallelujah. How many know that addictions lose their power in His presence? Some people will come to church, amen, they'll have a good time of worship, and they'll go over there having victory over their addiction for about maybe a couple hours. And then the devil says, well, let's offer it back to him. And maybe something will happen. He'll make sure something happens to irritate you and get you all upset. Because that's been your idol, your go-to. When things don't go right, you just go to that thing. Bow down to that, amen. And it never satisfies you, but you think it will. How about just continuing in the Spirit, amen, throughout your day? Sing, worship, pray. There's going to be times when the pressure's going to be on. You're going to feel like you're about ready to crack. Well, maybe I already have. I don't know, but I've been there. The pressure cooker, you know. You're about, she's ready to blow. But no, you just draw near to God. Hallelujah. And draw from the resources of His presence. Hallelujah. Seek His face. God, give me, God, give me. No, God, I want You. I need You. I need Your help. I need Your strength. I need Your power. Hallelujah. I can't do this without You. And God says, you're right where you need to be. Because you're going to rely upon Me and not yourself. And then My power can be made perfect in you. Amen. My strength made perfect in you. And people will see Me through you because you're not full of you, but you're full of Me. And you put yourself to the sidelines. Amen. Question, are there any idols in your life today? Anything? Has God been speaking to you about any idols, things that are keeping you from fully committing your life to Christ? Are there things that the world has presented to you that the devil's basically saying, this is superior to what God has, and you don't want to give that up? But you know, you can strike a bargain with God, and you can just kind of meet halfway, and you give up this, but you're not going to give up that, you know. In other words, you're just going to come to God on your own terms, and yet, the bottom line here is, when a king summons us into his presence, you come on his terms and not your terms. And the reason why the Christian life for some people is not working is because they're trying to come to God on their own terms. They're not willing to let go of the idols and the things that keep hindering them in their walk. We have to completely let go of all those things, anything, amen, that would hinder us, even the good things in our lives that could be a hindrance to us from finishing our race with joy and receiving the prize. God wants better for you. Is there anything in this present world more important to you than the will of God? Guys, I have to ask myself this, because there are many things that allure us. In America, I think materialism has been a big deal for us, you know, stuff. You know, you get rid of your old stuff and get new stuff. God's not opposed to us having stuff and nice stuff, amen? But is that what it's all about? Is that what life is about? Does a man's life consist in the abundance of things he possesses? Absolutely not. Jesus said no, right? So anything that you value more than God in your life is actually an idol. Amen. And we are espoused to one who is faithful and true, and we are to likewise keep ourselves pure. Keep ourselves, save ourselves, amen, for him, for the day when he finally comes, hallelujah. In the parable of this wedding feast, some disregarded the father's call to join with him. In verse 5, but they made light of it and went their ways. One to his own farm, another to his business. Guys, do we make light of God's invitation? Do we pick and choose when or if we will go and pray? Do we pick and choose obedience? If it's convenient, I'll obey you, but if not, no. Do we really love the Lord? Jesus said, if you love me, you will what? Obey my commandments. And his commandment is to love. And love, the kind of love we're talking about, is agape. And God's love is a self-sacrificing love. It's an unidirectional love. It's that I choose to love you irregardless of your response back. While we were yet in sin, Christ died. God demonstrated his love, agape, for us in the cross, did he not? We didn't deserve what he did, but he loved us. Even when we were enemies, he loved us. Now he's calling us to join with him, to take up our cross and follow him. And that means I have to deny myself, and I have to love God more. Do you love God more than your family? Do you love God more than your spouse? Do you love God more than your stuff? Do you love God more than your entertainment? Do you love God more than your own life? Are you willing to lay down your life for him? Do you love God more? If it came down to it, I would give my life for my wife. That rhymes. Where's she at? There she is back there. And guys, the Bible tells us to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. We are to give our lives back to the Lord now. We're no longer our own. We've been purchased, blood bought, in covenant, espoused to Him, in a time of preparation, of being made holy and being like Him. Amen. So in that day, we will be presentable. You see, during the Jewish marriage, sometimes up to 2 years, it depends on certain reports, but they would go through a process of ceremonial washings and cleansings and bathe, different types of baths and oils on their skin so that they would be radiant by the time the marriage is finally consummated. That's our part, is to prepare for the coming of the Lord. Amen. Prepare for the day when we see Jesus. If you need to repent of your sins, do it now. Get rid of those things, amen, that in any way would contaminate you. God's given you an opportunity today to be saved, amen, to be sanctified, set apart for Him. And the day is going to come when He will return for His bride. The bride is the one that was ready, that was watchful. And she will go into the bridal chamber with Him. Amen. And the door will be shut. Today is the day. The invitation first came to the Jewish people. I'm almost through. Matthew 22:6. And the rest seized his servants. Speaking of the Jewish people. Treated them spitefully and killed them. The prophets that were sent. In John 1:11, it says, He came to His own, the Jews, and His own did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right, the authority to become the sons of God. Now, God has not rejected the Jewish people. God, amen, is going to save Israel. Hallelujah. But in Acts 7:51, we hear Stephen rebuking the unbelieving Jews of his day. He said, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you." Guys, the same thing is happening today. People are resisting the Holy Spirit. They're resisting God's invitation to life. "Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers." And because of this saying, as you know, they stoned Stephen to death. What was the father's response to those who rejected his invitation? Look at verse 7. "But when the king heard about it, he was furious. And he sent out his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city." Why? Because the king had spared no expense. The highest price was paid, amen, for all who were invited to come and enjoy his banquet. God has made every provision for us, guys, to be saved and sanctified and made right with Him and to enjoy, hallelujah, His fellowship forever. God loves us. He wants us to be with Him. But if we reject such a love, then the Bible says that God will send them a strong delusion. Those who receive not the love of the truth will be given over to a reprobate mind. Guys, I think that's already happening. There are many today that are doing crazy stuff. Some of them, I believe, God will save. Others, I think, have gone beyond that point. God knows that point. But I will say this again, God's grace has a limit. And today is the day of opportunity, of salvation for us to get right with God and be ready for the coming of the Lord is drawing near. And he said in verse 8, "The wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy." Why were they unworthy? Hear it. Because they refused to obey His voice. Are you listening to the voice of God? Is God able to talk to you? Does He have someone who will say, "Yes, Lord," when He speaks to you? We all need to ask that, don't we? Hebrews 12:25 says, "See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. Today, the King is extending his mercy, his invitation to life. You and I have been called to partner with Jesus and to send out the invitations. If you're in right standing with the Lord today, hallelujah. Celebrate Jesus. Amen. Continue to walk with Jesus. But if you're not, today is your day of opportunity. Don't let this time pass you by. We don't know how much time is left, but God is saying there's still time. Go out into the highways and the byways. Go out and wherever you can find them, bring them so that my banquet might be filled. As many as you find, he says, invite to the wedding. And that's our mission, guys. Invite to the wedding. All things are ready. In Matthew 22 and verse 10, so those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both good and bad, and bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. Remember, I'd already said previously, guys, you don't come to God on your terms. You must come on his terms. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. And so he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And it says what? He was speechless. Now, why was he speechless? Why do you think he was speechless? Do you think he might have known better? Why was the king so angry? Because of all that he had done for our salvation, for our redemption, for our help, for our rescue, to make heaven our home, to be his child. Those who refuse such love will get what they want. Because without Christ, you're lost. Your righteousness, my righteousness, is not enough. We must be clothed in his righteousness. We must have on the righteousness of Christ. We must be clothed in him who is righteousness so that we are qualified to be in his presence. You see, he thought he could get in wearing his own garments. He thought he can come in on his own terms. Not so, because only the king's garments qualify one to be in his presence. In Luke chapter 12, verse 47, Jesus said this, and that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. So a person who knows the will of God and doesn't do it is more responsible than the one who doesn't. You see, I'm going to say this. There are many who say yes to the invitation, but do not prepare for the king's presence. There are many who will respond to an altar call and say yes to the invitation, but they do not prepare themselves for the king's presence. Lip service without genuine conversion, expecting salvation without true repentance. Matthew 22:13, then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. In other words, he could not stay in the Lord's presence. He was expelled because he was not prepared to be there. It doesn't have to end there, does it? Because you have time today. Amen. Settle things. You're not just making, amen, a shallow commitment, saying a sinner's prayer at the altar and going on your merry way and forgetting all about it. He's called you to a life of obedience. He's called you to a life of consecration. You and I have been called, amen, to be joined to the Lord, to become one spirit, amen, and to be prepared for the day, amen, when we are united with Him in eternity. And the invitation is going out today for you and I to invite others to the wedding. God's prepared everything. It's going to be awesome. It's going to go on for eternity. Amen. The wine will be free-flowing. The banquet is amazing. Hallelujah. It's not just some boring, stale, religious, you know, thing that you do. But it's life. And life more abundantly. I know I'm among good people this morning that really love the Lord. You have a heart for Jesus. You want to love Him and serve Him and please Him and live for Him. And the Lord delights in you. Amen. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ. But if you're not right with God, and if you're thinking that somehow in your own merits that you're going to earn or merit heaven, then you're being deceived. And that's why it's always been about a union in the Spirit. It's always been a Father who's looking for worshipers, amen, who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. An authentic relationship, amen, where you are alive in Christ, united with Him, and you are keeping yourself by the grace that He supplies you, amen. For the day is coming when you will be presentable to the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, as a chaste virgin. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Faultless. Because nothing can wash away my sin except the blood of Jesus. Nothing can make me whole again except the blood of Jesus. I must be cleansed and I must receive Him. Amen. I must be clothed in Him. Now here at one, I'm going to finish with this. In the Old Testament temple, everything had to be cleansed with blood and oil. Amen. And the blood represents the blood of Christ that cleanses and covers. Amen. And the oil represents God's presence, the Holy Spirit. So the blood and the oil must both be together. Amen. So you not only need to be cleansed in the blood, but you must receive the Spirit of Christ. You must be clothed in Christ. If you are in Christ, amen, you have life. Hallelujah. The banquet is now ready. The invitations are going out. How much longer, we don't know. Only the Father knows. Matthew 24:36, but of that day and hour no one knows. Not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Revelation 22:17, here it is. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. And let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Oh, hallelujah. Would you stand? Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just worship Him. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we come before your throne of grace. Not by way of our own righteousness, but by the way of the blood of the new covenant, whereby we have been sanctified and set apart. And we come with confidence before your throne today, Holy Father. And we ask you, Lord, to clothe us. Lord, to put your garments of righteousness upon us, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord, we ask you to purify your bride, to make us pure, to make us holy, Lord, to make us ready for that great day is coming. And we look forward to the day when we shall see you. Hallelujah. Even so, come Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you lift your hands to Him? Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Fill me now, Lord. You say, fill me now, Lord. Cleanse me in your blood. Fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit. Clothe me in Christ Jesus. Make me pure, holy, and acceptable to you. Lord, I present my body to to you as a living sacrifice. Use me for your glory. Give me holy passion, holy desire to live my life for you. Use me for your glory. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.